Since the kids are in the sanctuary, I thought I'd prepare an extra long message today. And it's not too long. But since it's 2023, we have to start by talking about the year ahead and how we want to start this thing off. And it's pretty cool. We get to not only be in church today, but we get to have communion. There is really no better way to start the year than doing that today. And so this morning's message is very simple. It's all about starting strong. How many of you already have ruined some of your resolutions? Anybody? My oldest. Apparently he raised his hand. So there we go. it's kind of hard to believe. 2023 is already here. Did anybody else last night, just you're sitting there and you're watching, you're like, man, it's 2023. Like, that, well, how did we, what? And my wife and I, we were watching some of the fireworks last night, and we were kind of talking about that and how it's weird to think that we've already reached 2023. Like, we aren't in hover cars, or, you know, like, there aren't robots that bring you your food. Well, there might be, but and on one hand, things have changed, and yet on another hand, things are very much the same as they used to be. But I am looking forward to what this year has in store. However, I know that that's not necessarily the case for everyone. I know that 2023 and the year ahead, maybe it's got some burdens that you know are going to come with it. Last year, it was a bit, like every year, it's a bit of a melting pot with joy and sorrow and goals that you met and maybe goals that you missed, friendships gained, friendships lost. All of that, though, that's behind us, so to speak. And for some of us today, it might be kind of another holiday. For others, maybe it's just another day. For others, it's an opportunity for some deep reflection. Maybe as you approach 2023, you have tangible things that you want to reach and accomplish this year. As Christians, there's really no unique significance to this day. What I mean by that is the Bible doesn't uniquely point to New Year's. It's not something that they recognize in that sense. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pause and we shouldn't reflect. And for as long as we've been alive, New Year's resolutions have been a thing, right? And I've shared in the past kind of like the top 10 resolutions going into that year and the previous year. They're pretty predictable. But even if you don't make a list, you likely have an idea of something that you want to be better at this year, something you want to do better this year, something you want to achieve that you maybe didn't achieve this previous year. It could be healthy habits. Maybe it's just changing. For me, it's no chocolate, no snacks, basically no nothing after a certain period of time, because that's my Achilles heel. Maybe you want to improve lifestyle choices. Maybe you feel like as a parent, like, man, I want to improve here. I want to do better at this. Maybe as kids, you're like, yeah, I want to be a better kid. That's a good one, right? Right, kids? They're not listening to me. All right. Maybe it's work-related. Maybe you've made the decision, like, I want to be a better coworker. I want to be better as a boss or whatever. It could be faith-motivated. You're saying, man, this is the year when I want to memorize scripture and do all these. Last night I was asking my kids, I was like, hey, guys, do you think in 2023, what if you were to memorize 100 scriptures? And they were cheating a little bit because they're like, well, Dad, at school, we already have a bunch memorized, so can we count those? I'm like, no, you can't count those, son. Those don't count. So I'm a very difficult father when it comes to scripture memorization. But could be any number of things. Taking time to stop and reflect on the changing of the year is something we all, I think, would be wise to do. You know, Psalm 90, verse 12, it tells us, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Paying attention to these things is good. It's healthy. Because time is a gift from God, isn't it? And it's honestly, out of all the commodities that exist in this world and all the things that we have, it is the most precious commodity that exists. Because you only have so much. You can't get any more. You won't get any less. It's determined by God. You have that much. Paul tells us in Ephesians to live. And when he is speaking of living, basically what is he saying? He's saying, hey, use your time. Use it well, like those who are wise. Live like those who are wise, to make the most of every opportunity. On Christmas Eve here, I briefly mentioned that Christmas doesn't have to be an event. It shouldn't be an event. That the celebration of Christ's birth, that's a lifestyle choice, right? That's something we should live out. See, every day that we have, you and I, we have an opportunity to turn the page on our old way of life. It's a clean slate, so to speak, from the garbage of the previous day or previous days. And it's an opportunity to embrace the new life that God has for us, the new promises that he has given us. Setting goals, it's a sign that we're being intentional about honoring God in what we do. And that's a unique way to think about it. I don't know if everybody looks at it that way. We usually look at it through the lens of how can we better ourselves. But what if we looked at it through the lens of how can we honor God? Through our work, our home, our church, personal life, our public witness. So it begs the question this morning. Because here's the thing that I find myself thinking about. If every single year we want to improve in some areas, why aren't we getting anywhere? Honestly, like think about how, like you don't need to raise your hand, because I would be raising my hand with you and it would feel really shameful. But like how many of us have been like, hey, I want to do this from like a health standpoint. And like 10 years later, you're still saying the same thing. Or how many of us have been like, oh man, this year I really want to like, I'm going to read the entire Old Testament. And then 5 years later, like I'm going to read the entire Old Testament. Like why don't we ever get anywhere on some of these things? Is it because we're not disciplined enough? Like, do we just need to try harder? Is life just moving at too fast of a pace so that we can't really prioritize Jesus high enough? Maybe it's a combination of some of those things, but I think there's something larger going on. Why in a day and age where we have more resources at our fingertips than ever before, why do we still struggle with some of these things? Maybe it's because we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. And I'm not talking about making unrealistic goals, but with the goals you set, do be realistic. Here's what I want to just spend a little time talking about. I think the temptation is to make our plans and then just kind of like add a little splash of Jesus on top, right? It's like kind of, hey, let's make our plans and then let's baptize them in Jesus' name, right? We come up with these plans of like, well, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to read more parenting books. I'm going to get involved at church. We're going to go through scripture more often. And it's easy, like I mentioned, to look at these things as ways of improving ourselves, but that's actually backwards. Instead, here's what we should be doing. We should be allowing God to form in us the desires and the motivations to do his work and to glorify him through those things. So listen, maybe you've got some concrete goals, and do it. Make those goals. I love a good goal. Get that capital G goal and get it going, right? But maybe they're also a little more fluid. Maybe they're kind of abstract. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you've made some resolutions, or even if you didn't, I think there are just some simple, important steps that we can take to ultimately draw closer to God this year. So I'm going to give you four R's, okay? These are the four R's of 2023. You ready? First one is this. Remember. Remember. Ecclesiastes 12:1. It says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old and you say, life is not pleasant anymore. Now that scripture is obviously speaking to the lives that we live, right? It's clear. But it can also apply to this year. Here's what I mean by this. In January, right now, the year is young. I mean, it's a newborn. This is day one. It's fresh. It's exciting. It's full of opportunity. There's so much potential. So many possibilities. There are countless productivity experts out there. They share about self-empowerment, and they talk about becoming a better self. And there is some truth in there. Absolutely. And as Christ followers, here's the thing, though, that we know. We encounter the fragility of life on a regular basis. The reason why is because every breath is a miracle, isn't it? Every heartbeat is a gift from God. The blood that is pumping through your body is only happening because God is allowing it to happen. Thomas Obadiah Chisholm, which, how cool is that middle name, Obadiah? Let's bring that one back, okay? He's a famous hymn writer, and if you know who he is, you'll recognize this. If you don't know who he is, you'll still recognize this. He once wrote this, and you've likely sang it before. He said, "Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." Here's what we're seeing here. We live in a broken and hurting world, don't we? It's messed up. And some of us, we know that the second we wake up, we recognize it. For others, it's on the news, and it's all you see on the news when you turn it on. For others, you recognize the brokenness, and you see it when you go to work. For others, it's the second you get into school, or you get on Facebook, or anything like that. And yet, here's the thing. In the midst of all of that, creation reminds us of God's great faithfulness, doesn't it? Every new year should act as a testimony, a signpost to God's grace. He has gifted us with another day, another opportunity. And so when we look back on the previous year, whether it was good to us or not, we and this is hard, we shouldn't have that mindset of like, man, I survived. Whew, we made it, barely. Or, oh, I achieved so much, or we did this and it was great. Instead, you know what we should be looking back with? It's the mindset of just, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So that's the first thing, remember. Second one is this, repent. Like, this is everyone's favorite, right? Like, would you just repent already? No, that's not what we're... There's nothing more encouraging, and I'm saying this a little sarcastically, but there's nothing more encouraging than pointing out how screwed up we all are. Like, Happy New Year. You're a messed up person. Like... In all seriousness, though, I do think this should be our favorite. Because thanks to God and his grace, we have an opportunity to approach him and receive repentance. Right? We can give him our sins and we can be forgiven. When we worship God and we recognize his faithfulness and we see his goodness and we just embrace it, it should lead us to that place of repentance. You know what God is really good at? He is the master of exposing that which is in darkness. He's really good at it. He's been really good at it for eternity. And while that might sound like something that you don't want to encounter, right? Because that seems intimidating. That seems scary. That's like, man, no thank you. In all reality, God is also a master of shedding light in a way that is graceful and loving and merciful. And so when we understand that he's not a vengeful God, repentance starts to go hand in hand with rejoicing. 1 John 1:9 tells us, but if we confess our sins to him, he is what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our wickedness. That's a promise from God that you and I can always take to the bank. We can claim that. We should find comfort in that, knowing that our forgiveness has been purchased at the cross. So when we begin the new year with repentance, we end up actually drawing closer to him. Listen, you want to know why confessing sins always leads to feeling and being better? It's because repentance is the gateway to greater intimacy with God. That's the gateway. You want to be closer to God, then you've got to seek out his forgiveness. And I think maybe one of the reasons we continue to try and work on the same things year after year is because we haven't first allowed God to show us the areas in our hearts that actually really need to grow. We seek out certain things, and yet maybe there's something else that God really actually wants you to work on. So how can we start hustling? How can we start working? How can we start dreaming without first renewing our joy in the one who guides our steps? The third R is renew. This is where I think things can get a little more practical. If we want to start strong, and I pray we do start strong in 2023, we have an opportunity to renew some old commitments. Core commitments, as I like to just kind of look at them as. Things like marriage, family, and church. There are plenty of good things we can work on and try to be better at, but we should start by renewing our core commitments. Let's start with these three. The most important work you have is what is happening within the walls of your home. That's the most important work you have. It's loving your spouse. It's being a parent that is relying on God. It's being a grandparent that's a good example. It's being a good sibling. It's being a good kid. It's all of those things. For me, one of the things I want to be better at, and this sounds vague, but it's a core commitment. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better parent. And it's a commitment that I come back to every year. Year after year after year. Listen, here's the thing though, as we look at this kind of stuff, don't get bogged down by how you feel like you failed in the past year. Because if you're like me, you immediately go to the shortcomings, right? You immediately go to the failures. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in maybe the way that you already blew it this morning, okay? We live out the gospel best when we live it out in the daily rhythms of repentance and forgiveness with loved ones. Don't believe, and here's the other thing, and I really believe this strongly. Don't believe some of the lies that are out there that are telling you, man, you got to sacrifice your family in order to accomplish this. All right, or you got to do this in order to sacrifice. Don't let your family die at the altar of work. That's just a little side note. Just don't do it. With that, we should also renew ourselves to our church. I'm not going to quiz you on this, but be ready in 2023. We have a mission here at Bayside. It's very simple. It's to transform lives through Christ. That's our main goal. This is motivated by 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19 tells us we love because God first loved us. So that's where we're inspired. That's what we want to accomplish. And my hope, my prayer is that you will join us in that this year. Join us in this mission. If you feel like there's not much to renew yourself to regarding the church, because maybe you're like, man, I didn't do a lot last year. That's okay. It's a new year. It's a new season. And trust me, there are plenty of ways in which you can serve. Your commitment to your marriage, your commitment to your kids, your commitment to your family, your commitment to your grandchildren, your commitment to this church, it may not always look or feel significant, right? It's the being excellent at the things that are mundane. But when you play the long game and you're faithful over a long period of time, it forms habits of a disciple and it shows others what it looks and feels like to really follow Jesus. And the last thing is this. Rest. Rest. Something maybe a handful of you got last night. I've spent entire series on this one because I think it's very important. And it is vital to a strong start in 2023. First of all, here's the thing. You need to find rest in the identity of Christ. Right? That's where true rest is found. It's not in the identity of what others are telling you or society is telling you or anything. Your rest is found in the reality of who God says you are. Maybe you failed to hit some of these things in 2022. But guess what? Jesus still loves you despite your shortcomings. Jesus still loves you despite your failures. Jesus still loves you even if you have unchecked boxes. Didn't change anything for him. Jesus loves us even in the midst of these things. And when we start to believe otherwise, it's not God's voice that you're hearing. It's the enemy's. It's him trying to convince us that we have less worth because we blew it last year. It's him trying to convince us that you're really not cut out to do this because you weren't able to accomplish something. Just hear this. Like, I hope you heard more, but hear this. A quote-unquote more successful 2023, it's not going to make Jesus love you anymore. You can do a ton of great things in 2023. It's not going to increase his love for you. And you could fail at a bunch of things in 2023, and that's not going to decrease his love for you. Because Jesus has always called broken sinners and used them for his mission, hasn't he? If you look at the Bible, you know what it's filled with? It's filled with failed apostles, former prosecutors, and recovering Pharisees. And they've all been some of God's greatest witnesses. Jesus loves to use screwed up people. Good news for me and good news for you. The second aspect, though, of this is don't discount physical rest. Maybe one of your goals for 2023 is to get more of it. But honestly, it's usually the other way around, isn't it? Usually it's we will sacrifice rest in order to accomplish more. We plan on working harder. We plan on really maximizing opportunity. But do we schedule time to reflect and acknowledge, in all reality, our need for sleep, our need for just leisure? See, real rest is not laziness. It's not weakness. It's a sign of spiritual strength and confidence. And speaking of sleep specifically, what if we were to just kind of frame it like this? An understanding that when we close our eyes, our lives are in God's hands, and we're okay with that. Right? It's that understanding that all those things that are racing through your mind, it's in God's hands. You do you. You work like it depends on you, but you also pray like it depends on God. It's knowing that when we sleep, the world can go on without us because God's got the whole thing in his hands. We're going to take communion in just a moment. I'm going to invite the worship team up. You've probably heard the phrase, the past is in the past. Maybe you got a bumper sticker. I don't know. Maybe your bumper sticker actually says, the past is in the past. I don't get it. Passing car. Okay. Well, it's true, though. The past truly is in the past. All that you have achieved and all that you didn't, all of your wins, all of your losses, they're behind us now. And I know that there's aspects to this where maybe they're not technical, but you understand what I'm saying. In Isaiah 48, the prophet goes to great lengths to explain just how good God is. It's a beautiful chapter. How he's speaking to the Israelites who are in captivity and that they're going to be freed from the Babylonians. And he explains how majestic God is going to be in freeing them and restoring them. And then we read this in Isaiah 48. He says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. I think that that verse is not only important to us today because it's a new year. But it's important to us because there are things that we need to let go of. That maybe we're holding on too tightly to from the past. In order to encounter that new thing that God has in store for us. Maybe there's just something very, very tangible for you. Me as a parent, I'll be honest. Sometimes I hold being a parent a little too close. And maybe I need to allow God to maybe do a little more leading rather than me. He's a pretty good parent, isn't he? Maybe there's just something you need to let go of. This year is going to have its ups and it's going to have its downs. It's going to have its wins. It's going to have its losses and it's going to have its draws. It's very similar to every other year. There will be things that surprise us, and there will be things that we're prepared for. Things that we celebrate, and things that we mourn. Maybe you struggle to see the good. You find yourself defined by failures more than accomplishments. You know, Psalm 13:14 speaks to what we've been talking about. It says, for he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. He's not saying... The psalmist is not saying, for he knows how pathetic we are, when that word weak. It's saying that God just knows that you need him. He knows that we need him. And that even in our failures, God knows we can't be perfect. God knows that we won't be bulletproof. That we can't do it all. We are finite. We're limited. And that shouldn't discourage us, but that should actually encourage us to find freedom and to take refuge in the one who is and will always be God. So this year, hey, let's just start strong. Let's just do it. Let's be responsible. Let's make plans. Let's be prepared, but let's hold them lightly. Let's not entrust our future to a reading list or a calendar or a program. But instead, let's give it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you just stand today? The worship team is going to quietly play as we get the elements. There's elements in the back and there's elements in the front. You can go to whichever one is closer. After you have that, you can go back to your seats and we'll take them together. But if you just bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you that today, in this new year, we get to be with you. There is nothing better. Where else would we want to start a new year than in your presence? And so I pray that as we prepare for communion, as we've talked about, just these different things that we can do to approach you in a way where our hearts are sensitive to what you want for us this year. Would that just continue during this time? Lord, before we take communion, help us to just give you once again our failures, our shortcomings, our sins, our mistakes. Lord, we thank you that you have already gone ahead of us. We thank you that you have already prepared good works for those of us who follow you and trust you. We thank you that you are a God that is not looking to shame us, to hurt us, to push our face into the mud of our sins, but instead you're a God who wants to hold us, wants to carry us, wants to love us. And the only thing that we can do is just open ourselves up to that. Help us to do that today. Help us to approach this day as a new opportunity to commit ourselves once again to you. We love you in your name.